Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you again. Glad to be with you this weekend. We are making our way, continuing on through the Easter season. And again, the weather is cooperating. The sun is shining. Even when the rain falls softly, I got to look outside and think, it's not snow. So, you know, there's something to be thankful for even there. And April showers or May showers now will bring those flowers up, and we will be basking in all the glories of spring shortly. And maybe you're already enjoying that with activities such as, walking, biking, fishing. Maybe you're a golfer and you're out on the links. As I was making my way over to the studio today, I did see some golfers out enjoying an early morning round. So that was great. It's good to see that there's people out. And it's one of those things that you, as you encounter spring in Minnesota, or quite frankly, anywhere that has a bunch of snow over the wintertime, it's not just the flowers that come up, but the people, they come out into the world again. And you see more and more activity, whether you're in the heart of the city or in the suburbs or out in the rural areas. People are just out and enjoying the sun as it's shining down on them. And as that kind of a model for what we're talking about today, that, you know what, when we go out, we are called to live our faith out there as well. Many of you know, and I'm guessing some of you can even remember, that the closing words of the Latin Mass, Ite Missa Est, just basically, as a good friend of mine likes to translate that, are you still here? In other words, get out of here. You know, you've been nourished with the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, and we have nothing more further to give you. But now you have the responsibility of going out and taking that nourishment, taking that faith, taking the Lord Himself out into the world today, and helping people to encounter the living Lord, encounter Him in and through you. That is the call that is given to each and every one of us. And so as we make our journeys out of the front door into the glories of nature in this wonderful spring season, we always have to remember to carry the Lord with us and be prayerful and mindful and intentional about that, to live out our faith in the world. And whether that means that you actually are engaging in a conversation with someone around matters of faith, that certainly could be the case, and we are certainly all called to give that testimony, at least from time to time. But we're always called to live it and to live in accordance with the virtues and to live in accordance with the action of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so as we are looking at something similar today, we're going to be talking about an upcoming event here. And perhaps you've seen some huge billboards around the cities as you've been driving around, advertising an event coming up on May 18th, sponsored by Pulse, or called Pulse, P-U-L-S-E, Pulse. And we are going to be talking about Pulse Twin Cities with the director of Pulse Twin Cities, Chris McFarland, who will be joining us in studio, as well as Brother Ken Apuzzo, who works with the University of Minnesota campus at the University of Minnesota campus at St. Lawrence Catholic Church and Newman Center. And he is going to be talking about his work with Pulse as well. And then later on in the program, we're going to be talking about how we can, you know, sometimes we venture out and we're not exactly sure how we're supposed to live out the faith so that others might encounter the Lord. We're going to be talking with Director of the Office of Evangelization, Crystal Crocker, as well as Evangelization Manager Susanna Parent and producer of this show, The Rediscover Hour. So that's coming up a little bit later on in the show, as they're going to talk about an upcoming chance for you to enter into what looks to be a very well-designed, well-thought-out program of learning more, going deeper with the Lord yourself, and then learning more about accompanying people. And so I'm excited to hear about that as well. So that's a full show for us that's coming up. So let's get to it right after we commit the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So let's pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are headed into our first break. When we come back, Chris McFarland and Brother Ken Apuzzo talking about Pulse. Stay with us.
Do you know what it means to give first? It's giving without asking for something in return, right? Helping a neighbor, friend, or family member. Giving your time, energy, or money to support a great cause. Well, the folks at Catholic United Financial know firsthand the benefits of giving first. Why? Because they're a not-for-profit financial company. For example, no one asked them to raise millions of dollars each year for Catholic schools. It's what they do. No one asked them to give post-secondary scholarships to over 500 kids each year. It's what they do. No one asked them to create a disaster response team 10 years ago to help those in need. And finally, no one asked them to hold annual volunteer events to help benefit the homeless and those less well-off. They do it because they're a give-first organization, and they've been doing it for 140 years. People helping people with life insurance, annuities, and retirement products. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and do business with a Give First organization. Give them a call today.
I believe in a peace that flows deeper than pain. The broken find healing in love. Pain is no measure of his faithfulness. He withholds no good thing from us.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again. And today we're talking about living the faith out in the world so that others can encounter Christ. Specifically, we want to talk about an event that's coming up sponsored by Pulse Twin Cities. And joining me now in studio is the director of Pulse Twin Cities and the executive vice president of Pulse, a graduate of the University of South Dakota and of Luther Seminary, and currently enrolled in the Townsend Institute, obtaining a master's degree in organizational leadership. And 2 years ago, he was the director of Together 2016, prior to which he had an audience with the Pope. And this is Chris McFarland. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Good to have you with us. So let's start from the very beginning. I'm guessing a lot of our listeners, as I said at the top of the show, have probably seen these massive billboards that are out there advertising this Pulse thing. And we'll get into that. We'll talk about that. But first of all, what is Pulse?
Pulse is an evangelistic team that is really targeted at going after the next generation. And so we also believe that as we go about the work of evangelism, it has to be led by prayer. So some people would even call us a prayer ministry, if you will, because we believe that when we pray and put feet to our prayers, we have the chance to engage family, friends, coworkers, all of those around us with this hope that we know and have through Jesus. So ultimately, our team exists to really put Christ at the pulse of this generation, if you will, as a line that we would often use. And ultimately, we want to see people engage in faith. And so we're doing that on college campuses. We're doing that in cities and regions, both in the United States, but globally as well. And really, right now, we have the opportunity to be in our hometown where we're located in Minneapolis, Minnesota, to see this Pulse Twin Cities campaign come about with hundreds of churches working together. And so the unity of the body for the sake of people to see the church, God's answer to the world. But we are really seeing God use a generation. We believe that we're called to engage that generation. And so for us, it's about the work of evangelism and the office of the evangelist, as scriptures tell us.
Nice. So the hundreds of churches working together, you said. So this is, I'm guessing, Protestants, Catholics, and a whole mess of different Christians work coming together to work for this, yeah?
It is, yes. There are multiple denominations. There are, I think, close to 60 Catholic parishes right now that are involved, as well as Bishop Cousins, who has spoken openly about the Catholic Church being involved and engaged, and we're just so grateful. And I love what God does in those moments and how that looks to all of those that say, who's this Jesus you're talking about? And so it is impactful to see that type of engagement from churches saying, we all care about the scriptures and ultimately pointing a generation to him.
Absolutely. The younger generation, you said, the next generation. Mm-hmm. So this is particularly targeted at what age folks are we talking about?
You know, primarily we would say it's 14 to 28. And so it is, you know, some high schoolers, certainly the college demographic, but also even young adults, young professionals who have maybe disengaged with their faith, or they've stepped away, or in general, you know, are part of a generation that many would say are biblically illiterate or are stepping just out and going into the world. And so it's that demographic across that board. But we believe it's for all people. This message isn't just for that group, but we do believe that historically God uses young people. And so we want to fan the flames of opportunity, of the fire, to go after them and to engage them where they are with things that are relevant to them, that have a look, a feel that they recognize as, no, they care about me. This is legitimate.
Well, I want to build on that as well. So what are the key things that move the hearts of the young people these days towards Jesus?
We're finding that it's authenticity. You know, they know what's real and they know what's fake, and they don't really respond well when you're giving them something that doesn't fit to who they are and to kind of what they see as kind of reality. So they want truth. They really want to go deep. It's not about the surface level answers, despite it being a, you know, Twitter news generation where I get all my news in just a few characters and then move on. But in reality, they want that relationship. And so while most of them are online going after the social media and, man, I have this many followers, ultimately, we want to point them to follow the one that matters. Mm-hmm. And they actually want that as well. And there's a deep desire and a lack of relationship through technology because of what it has done to take us away from being together one-on-one. And that's why coffee shops are so popular with young people. That's why, you know, they're seeing a lot of those types of engagement places, spaces being filled with young people today.
Now, we were talking a little bit at the top of the show, or excuse me, before the show began, about specifically some of the trends that we're seeing with this generation that you're currently talking about. And church attendance is not real important, or it doesn't seem to be for a large portion of this generation. Has that been your experience?
Yeah, it is. We would and have seen, I would say, very much that this generation has stepped away from their faith. They don't necessarily want to go down the road of, oh, that's my parents' deal or that's their thing. And then on the flip side, too, with that, there's kind of a biblical illiteracy for them. They're not necessarily engaged in the scriptures or then learning that because they aren't in those spaces. But it doesn't mean they don't want to. It's just a different dynamic, a different time. And in some contexts, it's, hey, if that's good for you, that's great. But that doesn't necessarily hold relevance for me. When in general, that's what they really are desiring. And so we believe that while that is happening on the other side of it, there is just a desire, and they're just looking for people to walk with them, engage with them. And so often we would just say, who are the young people that are sitting at your table of leadership? You know, we see a lot of leaders, they grow and people look to them for their wisdom and insight, and we absolutely desperately need that. Who's under their wing at the table, allowed a portion of the budget or just things that they could really take and might mess up? You know, like little Johnny might make some mistakes, but what's it look like for that type of boldness and faith and opportunity to happen in our churches versus letting them step away because they're just going to go try something else.
Mm-hmm. So how do you do that? How does Pulse do that? What exactly, what are the things that you do to facilitate this this chance to encounter Christ, to learn about him, to come into a personal relationship with him?
We do a number of things. One of them took place recently here called Unite. It's on the National Day of Prayer. And so a lot of these churches gathered together last night. Brother Daly was with us from the Catholic Church, and we were together in relationship, prayer, worship. We were hanging out. We were meeting with one another to meet with the living God. And so that's one way. And those happen on big levels and on small levels. There's also training, and I know Brother Ken will talk about this, but really we want people to understand, what does it mean to know this living God, to walk that out, but also to be praying for our friends, our family. So we have a strategy called Keep Five. The idea is that this isn't just five people. This is five people in my life that are there for a reason. And so we are really pouring into them saying, who are you praying for? Who are your five? Family, friends, coworkers. Write them down. Pray for them. What will God do in those moments to give you a chance to actually engage? Then ultimately, what's it look like to risk relationship, to have that conversation? Because oftentimes we're like, evangelism? oh my word, that's like a swear word sometimes, you know? I mean, like, do I really have to do that? Do I need to talk about this? But it's simple in a certain context. When you pray, you seek God, and then the door is open to do that type of thing. Or there's something like Pulse Twin Cities. How do I risk relationship to invite my friends to an event that is very well done, that allows me to say Jesus is relevant in our day and time? It's not some archaic thought or idea, but there is true relevance and impact right here in our city. I can bring my friend to that I know is going to be something that they won't think is hokey or lame, or, you know, because that 14 to 28, again, coming back to that, they know what's real. They know what's legitimate. So when we put Lecrae on the stage and then we also bring the scriptures into play of who Jesus is, it's an impact for them.
Yeah, and speaking as a former campus staff for a campus ministry, I can say that was one of the things that we were pursuing after often is recognizing the need to have something to invite people to, mm-hmm. that was it was going to be high quality, it was going to be well done, and it wasn't gonna you know, pull any punches, but at the same time it wasn't out to, you know, condemn people either. It was going to be somewhere where somebody could actually, again, encounter Christ in those places. So so this is the event Pulse Twin Cities that we've seen on the billboards coming up Friday, May 18th at US Bank Stadium.
Yeah.
That's a huge venue.
It's a big space.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. Obviously the Super Bowl was hosted there. I'm hopeful that we put on the real event. Like, a lot of people think the big game was in February. Mm. No, man, this is the one. And, you know, I'm prayerful and hopeful that we could actually break an attendance record there by seeing the church bring their friends out that need to experience this message of truth of who Jesus is, what the scriptures tell us, and having Jesus revealed to them in their hearts, in their lives, to see heart transformation come about, a response to him and a following of him. And so we hope that 70,000 people are there. Ooh, paying 70, attention.
That's great.
And that is our target. And we're hopeful that, you know, everyone listening shows up with a friend,
yeah.
that needs to hear this. It may not come with them on a Sunday to Mass. They may not join them for that invitation, but they'll go out to a public setting or a venue or a place like this that's like, oh, US Bank Stadium? Oh, man, yeah, that's non-threatening.
Right.
But, man, they're afraid to come to church sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
What's it look like to make that invitation? Mm-hmm. It's a little simpler risk, and yet it allows you to expose them to why you do what you do in your faith.
Mm-hmm. And with that, what can people expect to experience when they come to Pulse Twin Cities?
It's a high energy night. You can really anticipate, if you think of any event that has been well done, high energy, that you have gone to, whether that's a concert, whether that's a performance or anything of that nature, we'll have that taking place. So we have multiple artists from Lecrae to Hillsong Young and Free to Ty Tribbett to a dance group called the Jabberwockies. And we're also, interestingly enough, putting on and going for the Guinness World Record in the largest pillow fight ever. My Pillow is a sponsor and a friend of our team, and so they decided, hey, what's it look like to give away 50,000 pillows and have the Guinness Book of World Records come? And so these are just dynamics that make it fun, but don't lose sight of the fact that there will be a clear gospel presentation in that evening with the chance to respond. All of these other things allow us to build an invitation that is relevant. It's fun because we believe that we can have this joy in our faith, but it is also to make the point that we are there to invite you to follow Jesus. And so that can be the main expectation of people, but surrounded by quality, well-produced, God-honoring talent and event.
Yeah. And you mentioned this before, but just a word to those who may be listening and thinking, well, either I personally could invite somebody, or I know somebody, maybe somebody has a son or a daughter who's in the age range that you're talking about, wow. who is faithful to the Lord, but it might be a good thing to suggest to them, why don't you invite a friend or two? What's a good way of inviting? That can feel a little, you know, uncomfortable, risky, and I think it needs to, but is there any advice you can give on how to invite a friend to something like this?
Yeah, first, I just encourage you to pray. Who is God laid on your heart? Who are you thinking about, and who comes to mind that you'd like to invite? Then look for that opportunity. I would say there's a couple different ways. One, you can ask them if they've seen a billboard on the freeway, because there's many of them out there. Maybe they've heard a radio ad that makes that invitation easier. maybe they've seen a banner or anything else, send them a link to the website, which is pulsetwincities.com, because that can actually show them like, oh, okay, yeah, this looks like fun. Let them know where it is. I think those things basically bring barriers down from people saying no. Make the invitation now. You know, a lot of times we're kind of a last minute society and I'll make my decision right at the moment. But, you know, I would say just get out there right now and say, hey, May 18th, man, there's this thing going on. US Bank Stadium. You want to head out there with me? It's free. They got a bunch of music talent. Plus, you get a free MyPillow. I mean, come on, you know?
That's worth it right there.
Right. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And you've made that point. I was going to say, you know, with this event versus the Super Bowl, as you brought up before, you know, what's the real event that's going on here, the Super Bowl? Well, you certainly have the Super Bowl beat in terms of the price.
Yeah, right? It does make it easy. And that's one of the, you know, things that really does make it accessible for everybody. It's just bring your friends. It doesn't cost anything. We're raising the money behind the scenes. And, you know, that's something that we ask the church to do so that we can bring those who don't come to church so that they don't necessarily expect us to, you know, be saying, oh, you got to pay for all of this. But in general, you can invite your friends. It's easy. You know, you can buy them a, you know, thing of nachos when you get there or something, whatever their thing is.
Yeah, why not?
But in general, yeah, it's accessible that way just from a cost perspective. No tickets needed. I mean, there are flyers, there are posters and things out. Those can be accessed either through our office or, you know, there are parishes out there that will have them as well as other spaces. And you can use that as an invite too.
PulseTwinCities.com is the website to go to for more information and the full lineup of what's coming up on Friday, May 18th. Doors open at 5, a pre-show at 6, and the evening event formally begins at 7. No tickets needed, just showing up at US Bank Stadium. Chris, before we let you go, just can you give us a brief synopsis of how meeting with Pope Francis went for you?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a true honor. It was an opportunity where we were with a group of pastors first, but he had taken interest in a gathering we did on the National Mall called Together. And that drew a little over 300,000 people in July of 2016. And so we were with him in April of 2016, and he had, again, taken note and allowed, and we had built relationship with some folks around him, and it brought us in. So we spent a half an hour, Nick Hall, the founder of Pulse, and myself with him, and we actually shot some video that was utilized for that event, and it was truly fantastic. He was inviting a generation to check out Jesus, and I really valued the chance that I received as a Protestant in being in that space and just knowing who he is and how God has used him and is using him, and just with my own personal deep heart for the Catholic Church, a true honor to actually be there in that time space and spend the time just talking about reaching this generation and then even having him invite people to one of the events we were doing.
Chris McFarland, Director of Pulse Twin Cities, thank you so much for being on the Rediscover Hour.
My honor. Thank you.
Yes. And turning the page, but actually staying with Pulse for a minute, we want to also interview Brother Ken Apuzzo, who serves with the Brotherhood of Hope and serves on the University of Minnesota campus at the St. Lawrence Catholic Church and Newman Center. Brother Ken, welcome to the program.
Great to be here. Excited, really excited to spread the message of the Pulse event, and I think it's absolutely a major spiritual moment for the Twin Cities.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, I think that it's great that it has the commendation of so many Catholic parishes, especially there at the University of Minnesota, as well as Bishop Cousins, as Chris just told us. Before we get into it, I do just want to, can you just give us a snapshot of what the Brotherhood of Hope actually is?
Sure, gladly. We are a relatively new community of religious brothers. We are founded in the Archdiocese of Boston from the Northeast. And our main mission, we feel like the Lord has called us into existence, is to reach younger people with the gospel, the love of the Lord, and the church. Our primary base of missions has been reinvigorating campus ministries, Newman Centers. Mostly we're on the East Coast. We're drawn out to deep mission country. 4 years ago, I was invited to the University of Minnesota. From the New York, the Bronx, and we're still getting used to each other over there. So I talk too fast, a little too cynical. They talk too slow, a little too nice, but we're going to work it out. So,
yeah, well, at least the snow isn't a stranger to you then if you're from the Bronx.
But a new level of cold.
New level of cold. that's fair enough, fair enough. And how long have you been at the Newman Center now, did you say? 4 years?
Yeah, invited out 4 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long have you been working with Pulse?
So that was a very an awesome surprise to me, that our brotherhood has a real passion for Christian unity. Our roots come from having good relationships with other Christians. And so whenever we get to a campus, actually one of the first priorities we have is to reach out to the other Christian leaders on campus and begin to build some trust, some prayer. We almost always try to, if it doesn't exist, we try to start a prayer night where we can pull together fellow brother and sister Christians. And what begins to happen is we begin to trust each other, and then we can actually talk about some of the things that divide us maybe a little bit. But then we can just be a better witness to the campus. And our students, even if they're not so knowledgeable about the faith, they want to be one. Mm. They want to be one. And it's very confusing and heartbreaking to them, discouraging to see the body of Christ broken. So 4 years ago, I got here. Pretty quickly, I found out about the Unite event, big, big prayer event at Mariucci Stadium, the basketball arena at the University of Minnesota. I just love these things. We grabbed a bunch of our students, went to that night. I had never been to a Pulse thing before. I just loved it. Again, as Chris was saying, high energy, really, really great sharings, inspiring, awesome music. Being in that big venue was great, and I grew to really trust Pulse. So the way that we come at Christian Unity is that the most important thing we have in common is the Lord. We do have some differences, and we approach it in a way of respecting those differences. So what I like to liken it to a nationality. You know, I can approach everyone as human beings. We're the same that way. But if you're Irish, Catholic, Polish, if I say, well, that doesn't really matter, well, it actually does matter to me. So we're going to stand on what we have in common, the Lord, but I will respect the fact that you're a little bit different that way or this way, and not just act like it doesn't matter a whole lot. And so I've seen that in Pulse, that they have been really sincerely have tried to respect the differences, yet stand on what we really have in common.
Mm-hmm. What a wonderful commitment to because that's not an easy thing to do, to be dedicated to unity in such a way that still recognizes and regards and pays due regard to those differences while standing on the Lord together in unity, as you said. Now, you hosted an evangelism training as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. One of the things that when we're invited to a Newman Center, oftentimes big state universities. And sad to say, a lot of times they're underachieving. It's kind of, to be honest with you, when I got to the University of Minnesota, there was about 8 students who were actively involved, 8 student leaders at a university that probably has 12 to 13,000 Catholics. So our first mission there was to help a small group of students to encounter the Lord, to fall in love with Him, then to want to share that with their friends. And now, in 4 years, we have hundreds of students involved, a super active on-campus presence. Our student leaders, now we have 80 to 90 student leaders who give multiple hours volunteering each week. And so it's just super, super encouraging. Now your question again, I lost
about
track.
About the evangelism training.
So, yeah. So we are also very much outreach-oriented. We know that young people now are not going to find their way to the church building on their own. And so we need to go out to where they are. And so we do a lot of evangelistic training with our students, but it was great to have a different voice, a different flavor come in. Pulse representative Mark came in to help the students. What I loved about it was more than just, hey, get them to this event. It was, hey, let me share with you how you can learn how to share your faith with your friends, classmates, coworkers, and also how can we, using that, how can we help them get to this event where they're going to have a moment to have an encounter with the Lord? And one of the things I've seen, a weakness actually in the Catholic Church I love the Catholic Church. I've committed my whole life to advancing the Lord's mission there. But we're not great on creating environments where a new person can have that fundamental encounter with the Lord that changes their life. And Pulse is really good at that, and other Christians are really good at that. And so I'm really confident that if we can get our students there and their friends, they're going to have an opportunity to meet the Lord in a way that they might never have before. And so it was just great. The training session, we had 40, 50 young people there. What we did from there, all of those young people were leaders. They took the materials that that Pulse presented, which were excellent, very, very down to earth, very real, very effective. And they brought that information out to their small groups, taught them. We kind of did little mini training sessions in the small groups, and they were reaching out to their friends. And as Chris mentioned, pick five or whatever, it's probably a lottery thing, but we did the same thing. Hey, five of your friends, of family members, start praying for them. One of the things we did in this training session, which I loved, utterly loved this, was it's like, all right, pull out your phones right now, and I want you to text somebody that's important to you that I love you. Right now, nice. Let's do it, and let's see the response. I did it with my younger sister, and the response I got back from her was, are you okay? Yeah. So, great day. Great day of the training.
Wow, that's great. That's great. And your students, it sounds like, are really open to this, are really wanting this, are really they're grabbing onto this. Yeah.
So what we've tried to do with our students is train them to have a heart for what we call relational evangelism. Mm-hmm. And so in other words, that they're the first introduction to Jesus that anyone will ever meet. The event is next. And very often, I feel like in my background, the Catholic Church, we're very event-driven sometimes too much. I call it institutional evangelism. And sure, we can throw out Facebook messages and emails and all that stuff, websites. But when I ask students why you come to the stuff that we do, it's almost always, well, I met this person. This person helped me, made a difference in my life. And then the event was helpful, but not the other way around. Mm-hmm. And so, so our students already have an inclination that way, have learned that they need to be the first invitation to their friends. And then something like this big event at US Bank Stadium. One of the things I love about it, as you mentioned, it's free. This is such a no-brainer. So what we keep preaching every single Sunday, we have millions of cards, thank you, and we keep getting up and just saying, this is the easiest thing you could bring somebody to have a good experience of church or faith. Mm-hmm. It's free. It's cool. It's US Bank Stadium. You're never getting in there free ever again.
Yeah.
We have cool contemporary music, the dance group thing. That's not why I'm going. You don't want to see me dance ever. It's such an easy thing to bring people to. And then in the middle, you have this opportunity to hear the gospel put to you, maybe in a way that you never, an environment that you never were in before. Mm-hmm. You know, for a young person, you know, Americans, we're so, drives me crazy, but we're so into big, right? We're so into big, we're so into the latest thing. And so, yeah, I think for a lot of young people, walking into a stadium and seeing 50, 60, 70,000 people there, just that witness of there's that many people in this town that somehow are connected to the Lord and faith and church. Mm-hmm. Wow, it's gonna open them in a way that they might not have before.
Mm-hmm. And I do appreciate what you're saying about you need to lead with that. You are the place where people encounter Christ first, yeah. And then the event follows after that. And that seems to be at the heart of Pope Francis and his the things that he's talking about.
Amen.
And accompaniment, yeah. and that sort of thing. And then, but you do need to help them encounter the larger body of Christ as well. So it's they can place trust in you, and then they can say, wow, there's a lot of other people who are thinking this way too.
So one of the things that I appreciate about the approach of Pulse is that you will have young people coming from certain kinds of denominational backgrounds, and in this is that mutual respect, is we want you to encounter the Lord at this event. And then we want you to bring the Lord back mm-hmm. to your home church from mm-hmm. where you came from. Mm-hmm. And that's the spirit that our brotherhood has always had. And so look forward to, you're right, from this one convergence moment of the spirit, it will then, just like the early Christian, it'll go back out to all these different churches and be blessed. It won't just be the individual. It has the potential to go back and fire up the churches that they all came from.
Amen. Brother Ken Opuzzo, thank you so much for your work, and thank you for being here on the Rediscover Hour.
Great to be here. Thank you.
The event, once again, is Pulse Twin Cities. It's Friday, May 18th at U.S. Bank Stadium. It's a free event starting at 7 p.m., but the doors open at 5, and there's a pre-show at 6. No tickets needed. It's a free event. Just show up. But if you'd like to find out more about what's going on, go to pulsetwincities.com. We are going to take our next break, and I hope you'll stay with us, because right after this, we've got representatives from the Office of Evangelization talking about different ways we can be a missionary disciple. Rediscover.
I don't think every Catholic really knows what the church teaches and what the truth is, and that's why I thank God for venues like Relevant Radio, where you're teaching what God teaches.
We're here to help you. We're here to say, hey, this is where true happiness will be found. Here's the truth about marriage. Here's the truth about life. Here's the truth that will bring you fulfillment. And you're not going to find that any other place than in Jesus Christ. And Relevant Radio's whole mission is to make sure that message reaches you and souls who perhaps are really blinded by the great deception of our day, by the culture. If you really want to change your culture, keep Relevant Radio booming.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with our producer, Susanna Parent, our technical producer, Paul Sadek, coming to you from the Relevant Radio studios, 1330 a.m. in Golden Valley, and sponsored by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. And speaking of our producer, Susanna Parent, she is joining us in studio now.
Hi, Patrick.
Susanna. It's great to have you on air.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Yeah. And Crystal Crocker, the director of the Office of Evangelization for the Archdiocese. Welcome, Crystal.
Yeah. Thank you, Patrick. Good to be here.
Yeah. These are the forces behind the Rediscover Hour right here. All right. So why don't you start out, Crystal, just tell us a little bit about what the office is up to.
Right. We've been, Susanna and I have been working really hard on developing opportunities for people to encounter Christ, certainly through our live Bible studies that we have going on around the Archdiocese. Jesus Approaches with Liz Kelly. She's on fire for the women, bringing them deeper into an encounter through Scripture. And Father John Eckert has been doing a lot of that as well. We have done in the past Lectio Divina workshops because we really feel it's important for people to understand how to pray. And we cannot go out there as disciples unless we have that relationship through prayer. So we've been doing that, as well as the Catholic Watchman and Wine and the Grandparent Ministry. So we've been really busy.
Maybe Called and Gifted, too.
And Called and Gifted is the essential part of that. Thank you, Patrick. We're so grateful for what you do here at the Rediscover Hour for our office. It is a wonderful job that Susanna has been organizing, and you have been anchoring here as the host. So we're so grateful for that, bringing evangelization knowledge and inspiration to our archdiocese here in our local church.
Right.
But Called and Gifted is also a part of that. But our office now is responding to Pope Francis and his call.
What call would that be? Yes. You know, what call would that be, Crystal?
Well, thanks for asking.
Of course.
So, since you've asked, so Susanna and I have been spending a good chunk of last year, or all this year, since this fall, right, Susanna?
Yep.
Because last July, Pope Francis had asked the USCCB, United States Catholic Conference of Bishops, to invite dioceses from across the country to come to Orlando in July and participate in a convocation. And so Archbishop Hebdo gathered a delegation, and I was part of that. And the things that they were talking about are very much about becoming a missionary disciple. In fact, if people have been listening to Pope Francis, he has been talking nonstop about a missionary disciple. Evangelii Gaudium, he says, I dream of a missionary option, a missionary impulse capable of transforming everything. So he's talking big things here in evangelization. And then also, all of us who are baptized are missionary disciples. We are called to become a living gospel in the world.
Susanna, what does that mean, to be a missionary disciple?
Missionary discipleship. Well, there are a lot of different ways to be a missionary disciple. And, you know, I think that sometimes people think, missionary, what does that mean? Like, am I called to go to a third world country? Oh, no. And sure, that might be the case for some people. My brother was a missionary with his family, with his five children in the Philippines for a year. But they actually felt very convicted after that year to go back home to their parish in Brilliant, Wisconsin, and just be disciples there and to join the parish community and help transform their parish so that others could come to know Jesus personally, so that they could encounter him and have a friendship with him.
Now, some of our listeners here in Minnesota might think that Wisconsin is still missionary territory.
yes, they might.
Yeah. Well, we want to keep them here, and we want to engage them in this. So our response to the convocation has been to develop something that would be an easy on-ramp for people to understand that if they've been baptized, they are a disciple, and that to respond to this call by Pope Francis to have a missionary heart, we have a mission field right here in our own backyard, maybe in our own church, in our own pews, and in our own family, and to become a missionary disciple, and what that looks like, what that means, and how do we respond to that? You know, at the Mass, we're always sent out through the doors with, you know, we're going to start hearing in this Easter season, or after the Easter season, go and announce the gospel of the Lord. So how do we do that? By the time we get to the parking lot, you know, we might have the kids squabbling and thinking about brunch, and we've already forgotten that we're supposed to be proclaiming the gospel of the Lord. So it really needs to be part of who we are, and I think the secular world has kind of invaded that space in our lives, that we've compartmentalized. This is my job. This is what I do with the kids and the school, the demands of life, everyday life. And then I go to church. And I think that it has caused this separation in us, and we need to work to bring that back, to make, and that's what a disciple is. You're living every day. I love this quote by Pope Francis. I'm heavy on Pope Francis today, but he's hitting it all the ballpark. A true missionary who never ceases to be a disciple knows that Jesus walks with him, speaks to him, breathes with him, works with him. And so if we can develop that in our own life, and it just becomes seamless and natural, then we're almost more than halfway there.
Yeah.
So you have put together a process by which, as you were indicating, Crystal, a process by which people will understand what it means to be a missionary disciple, and then actually to give them the nourishment that they need to live that out more fully. Right.
And Susanna and I'll let Susanna talk about the young adults, because really that's one of the areas that we want to focus on, and bringing and engaging young people into the church so they have a sense of a belonging. I belong here, you know, and I think right now we're not seeing that. They're finding their sense of belonging outside of the church, and they may define themselves as spiritual, but they don't see themselves as religious, that they need the church and they need the sacraments. So that's one of our focuses with this. People say, well, I'm not a disciple, or I'm too busy. It's not my job to evangelize. And so we want to change that, and we want to get young people engaging in the parish. But this is also for anyone. Everyone needs to realize that they're a disciple. But why don't you share a little bit about what we've learned from our young adult Behold experience?
Absolutely. So about 2 years ago, our office had a Behold retreat for young adult women between the ages of 21 and 29. And it was a day where we had speakers on complementarity, on prayer, Lectio Divina, building the domestic church, hospitality, just a really great variety. And included in that day were, there was time for Q&A, and we intended to have time for adoration. There was time for fellowship. And then we sent out a survey at the end of the one-day retreat. And the number one thing that the women really were hoping for, if this were to happen again, was more time for adoration. But we weren't able to do it because the Q&A went so long that adoration didn't end up happening. But they were so hungry to use everything that they learned from that retreat and pray with the Lord to discern, okay, Lord, like, thank you for all these things that you've given me today to ponder and to pray with, and now I want to spend that time with you. A couple other things that they mentioned is they wanted to have more time for Q&A. They really appreciated the live speaker being there because then they could ask questions right there on the spot. And they also just really cherished that time of fellowship and meeting other strong Catholic women who wanted to be more invested in their faith and more invested in a parish or in their parish if they already belong to a parish. So we used that one-day retreat and the feedback from that to create an 8-week series, which we held from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And we started off with a 20-minute presentation with the speaker. From there, we sent them straight to adoration, where they had 15 minutes to be with the Lord and to just pray with him. We gave them a scripture passage to use in prayer if they wanted a prompt there, some questions of reflection. And then they came back, and then they had time to have large group discussion and Q&A with the speaker, as well as some small group discussion. And that proved to be really, really fruitful. And so that's the kind of model that we want to use with this missionary discipleship series as well, to have an hour and a half time frame where there's time for prayer, there's time for small group discussion, Q&A, and a live presentation.
All right. So building off of these initiatives, you've obviously learned some things, and you've now structured this this new process. This new series that you put together. Give us the logistics of how it's going to occur, where it's going to occur, when it's going to occur.
Yeah. So it's a missionary discipleship series. So because we know the problems are, well, I'm too busy, or I'm not a disciple, I don't want to evangelize. So we're to overcome those obstacles and make it really simple and easy on-ramp for people, for anyone. Again, we're focusing on young adults, but everybody needs to come and find out. Come and see and learn how you can too be a disciple and transform your family and transform your parish. Who doesn't want to transform their family and transform their parish? So what this is it's 3 4-week sessions. So there's a fall session, and it's all about hearing God's call to the heart. 4 weeks. Who couldn't give that 4 weeks, an hour and a half, to come and hear God's call to the heart, which is understanding God's love and walking with Jesus and that daily walk with him through basic, simple understanding of prayer. Then this winter session, 4 weeks, would be understanding and living the call, what the life of a disciple really looks like through virtue, through our own gifts, and bringing Jesus into everyday life. And so in between that, we'll be doing a called and gifted seminar. That's where you come in, Patrick.
Nice. Patrick Conley.
good choice.
So people understand, when you're baptized, the Holy Spirit gives you gifts. Your gifts are unique to you. And so Jeremiah 29:11, God says, "For surely I know the plans I have for you." God has a plan for you to serve him as a disciple and evangelize and transform your family and transform your parish. And if you're actually acting and on your own gifts, it will be so easy. It'll be seamless. Our lives will be, the Holy Spirit will be working through it. So it'll be so simple to do. And then the spring 4 weeks is all about being a disciple in family and parish. And we actually will be working. It'll be like a workshop where we're practicing on our gifts, using our gifts, faith mapping, our own life testimony, and understanding the different thresholds that people have. You know, we're not going to speak about the faith or share our faith with people the same in our family as we would might in the workplace or a neighborhood friend or something. Those are different conversations, and to make them seamless so it doesn't seem like you're, hey, I'm telling you about the faith and you should become Catholic or you should be more engaged in your church. It's just seamless. It's part of your life. And so that's our goal here, is to make each person see how this is all part of their life and it's seamless.
So there'll be some teaching. There'll be some probably some small group discussion. There'll be a chance for Q&A. Anything else? What am I missing here?
Well, I'm really excited because my alma mater is St. Thomas. I graduated at St. Thomas with Catholic Studies. And the second part of this series is going to be taught by Catholic Studies people, from their people. Yeah.
The experts.
Yeah, we have Dr. Michael Naughton. He's going to be teaching two classes. Father Bryce Evans, who also is a graduate of St. Thomas, and Gabby Quillen. So I'm really excited to be able to work with them again as they're part of this series coming up. And also, we have two tracks for this series, one that's open to all and one that's specifically for young adults between 21 and 29. And that's going to be hosted at St. Mark's, which is my parish in St. Paul. So
everything's coming up roses for you,
yeah,
Susanna.
Yeah, I know. And then the other track is being hosted by St. Hubert's. And Archbishop Hebda has expressed interest in teaching one of the classes, as well as Bishop Cousins. And they're busy, but we're working to get them on the class schedule as well. So they are fully endorsing this, behind this 100%. We're so excited to be working on missionary discipleship and answering Pope Francis's call.
No pressure, bishops, but now it's out there. All right. So in our closing 20 seconds, how can people find out more?
Right. So go to our website, rediscover-faith.org, and we hope to have the registration page up next week. So give us a week here. But
right. The event page is
not up yet. Yeah, but they'll hear about it. They're going to be hearing about it through flyers, through emails. Registration is going to open before the summer break, so we can start spreading the word out there.
Great. Crystal Crocker, Susanna Parent, thank you so much for joining
us. Thanks, Patrick.
All right. And thank you for your good work here on the Rediscover Hour. We've got some other community events coming up right after the break. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Seems like the roller coaster stock market has everyone on edge lately. What if you could find something safe and secure that's guaranteed to grow, no matter what the market does? If you want to safely tuck your hard-earned money away, but still want growth, your friends at Catholic United have just the answer, a Catholic United annuity. Their current first-year crediting rate for new annuities is 3%, with a guaranteed annual rate of 1.5%, better than most bank CDs you'll find. Catholic United annuities are safe with zero account service fees, and you can set them up like a Roth or traditional IRA. Plus, if you want, you can even create monthly, quarterly, or yearly income payments back to yourself. What's not to like about that? Guarantee yourself a positive return, free from stock market risk. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and find your local rep who can walk you through all the options. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Give them a call today.
Isn't it beautiful? Is it a marvelous, the God of the universe?
Isn't it beautiful and marvelous, Paul?
It's fantastic.
That's what I thought you'd say.
Well, it's been a gorgeous day today so far, too.
I think so, too.
At least on Friday. I assume it will be Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, let's hope so. All right, what do we got going on, Paul?
Tons of things. Men are invited to the Catholic Watchman Rally with Archbishop Bernard Hebda at All Saints, Minneapolis, 6:30 to 9, Tuesday, May 8th. Archbishop Hebda will speak on Mary, Mediatrix of all graces. This Catholic Watchman Rally is an opportunity for men to draw closer to Jesus Christ and invest in fellowship with other men. There'll be time for adoration, confession, and dinner will be provided. More information online at thecatholicwatchman.com.
During the month of May, dedicated to our Blessed Mother Mary, come with family and friends to the annual Archdiocesan Family Rosary Procession on Sunday, May 6th. That's this Sunday. Gather at the State Capitol at 1:30 to process to the Cathedral of St. Paul. Procession will begin at 2 p.m. and be led by Bishop Andrew Cousins. Those who cannot walk the procession route may go directly to the cathedral to pray the rosary with those who are in procession. For more information, visit archspm.org and click on events.
Abria invites you to join them on Mother's Day weekend at the Upper Landing Park in St. Paul for the 2018 Life is Wonderful Family Fun Run Walk and 5K, Saturday, May 12th, in support of Abria Pregnancy Resources. There will also be a kids' run, DJ, food trucks, and more. For more information and to register, visit supporters.abria.org.
Sacred relics of the saints and treasures of the church will be coming to Minnesota this May. You are invited to St. John the Baptist in New Brighton on Monday, May 21st from 6:30 to 10 p.m. Father Carlos Martins of the Companions of the Cross will present a teaching and exposition of sacred relics in the main church. There will be over 150 relics on display, some as old as 2,000 years. There will also be present a portion of the veil of Our Lady, a piece of the True Cross, and many saints. For more information and to find out more about more locations this will be offered at in our archdiocese, visit treasuresofthechurch.com.
This year marks the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae, an encyclical written by Pope Paul VI to reaffirm the Orthodox teaching of the Catholic Church on married love, responsible parenthood, and the continued rejection of unnatural forms of birth control and abortion. In recognizing this anniversary, Bishop Andrew Cousins will meet with young adult groups throughout the Twin Cities to discuss Humanae Vitae and address questions. You're invited to St. Stephen's in Minneapolis Sunday, May 6th, 11 a.m. Mass with Bishop Cousins, followed by Q&A with young adults from 12 to 1. Refreshments provided. For more information, visit tcya.archspm.org.
Next time on the Rediscover Hour, we're talking about vocations with Father David Bloom, Director of Vocations with the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, Emily Moyer, who has discerned consecrated life with Bethany House. Also joining us will be Liz Bunnell, who will be serving as a lay missionary in the Catholic Diocese of Fairbanks, Alaska, this coming August. In addition, Deacon Jim Meyer will share with us about his service as a deacon, as well as the challenges of having Parkinson's. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.